Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
7:17 now. It's a chilly start and is just getting started with the cold right now. If you look at the temperatures, average them throughout the area, you're talking about around 29 degrees or so, maybe even colder than that. Heavy snow tomorrow. That's what they're saying. Peyton Malone telling us just now, and like we've not seen since the late 1800s in the coldest of the cold weather tomorrow night. Jason Willis joins us now, Vice President of Power and Delivery for Entergy Louisiana. Entergy Louisiana, Entergy New Orleans, both. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
How do you go about preparing for something like this? And because I remember it snowing before, and that's what led to the question, if you're listening or not, for Peyton Malone. I don't remember a lot of power outages with snow events, but then again, we've not had a snow event like this since 1895. So how do you even begin to prepare for something like this, Jason?
Well, our preparation for an event like this is a year-round activity. So it starts by how we manage the vegetation around our lines throughout the system year-round, trying to keep those areas clean such that when an event like this occurs, it minimizes impacts. What we have done preparing for this event is do specific patrols of our system. And we began to prepare our people and bring in additional resources as necessary to stage across the state to be prepared to respond to outages as they occur. So for this specific event right now, we're looking at about 1,600 personnel that we are going to have staged across the state to be able to respond to outages as they occur. Now, I think as you mentioned, typically snow doesn't cause a lot of damage. It's normally ice that would be more of an issue for us in causing significant widespread outages. In this case, what we more likely would see is just slower restoration times, as it takes a little bit of time for our personnel to get around the roads and be able to respond to things that occur as they occur. And so our messaging as it approaches and during the event is going to point to the fact that there may be slower restoration times in some instances, just due to, the safety of our folks to get around, as well as a phenomenon called cold load pickup, where sometimes, if you imagine being in your home, losing power, and when that power is restored, everything wants to turn on at the same time. Imagine if that's a whole neighborhood trying to turn on at the same time. So we have to be very methodical in how we restore things so that we don't damage equipment or trip it off again and cause an additional power outage. So sometimes you may find that restoration could be a little bit slower and methodical during these types of events.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to compare and contrast because, we all know about hurricanes and that's our thing. First of all, is there anything that homeowners can do now to maybe minimize the chances? I know you don't want to fool around with power lines, but branches, et cetera, they can do to minimize their chance of an outage, or is it too late for that?
I would just say each individual homeowner should assess their home and their preparedness to make sure that they have all the supplies and essentials that they need to be able to make it through this type of a storm. If someone does see something around their area that they think could question their ability to make it through this event without causing an interruption, we encourage folks to report those things, and we can help assess those situations and make any last-minute adjustments to vegetation if necessary. And so we do have the ability for folks to make those types of notifications to us. We can report things through our Entergy application. There's an outage, a notification line, 1-800-9-OUTAGE. That's 1-800-969-8243. folks could call and report things, and we could be responsive in advance of the storm. I would not necessarily want to ask a customer to make any sort of adjustments to any low-hanging limbs or anything on their own. If there's a concern for impact to power, they can call us and we can assess that situation.
When it comes to restoration, I know, and you addressed this a little bit before, Jason, we're talking to Jason Willis, Vice President of Power and Delivery for Entergy Louisiana and Entergy New Orleans, but we talked about restoration, and I know after a storm, you got to wait until, you know, lightning is done and rain is done and the winds get down. I think it's below 35 miles an hour, whatever the barrier is. What about with the cold weather? It's just primarily the roads and accessibility towards whatever it is you got to get to?
Yeah, so this event, we'll be continuously assessing the roads. You know, there will be the ability for our folks to still get around during the weather event. You mentioned the wind being a potential barrier to being able to get up inside of a bucket truck. There are going to be portions of this storm where the wind could gust above 30, 35 miles an hour, which could challenge our ability to be out there safely. And during those time periods, our folks will wait that out until those wind gusts pass. But, you know, it's really going to be, our biggest concern with getting around, obviously, is going to be the amount of accumulation on the roadways. We are partnering with the Department of Transportation, who has a very clear and very well laid out preparation plan to keep the main arteries cleared for us, as well as the general public and other emergency functions as necessary to be able to get around. And we do have the ability, if we're struggling to get somewhere, to partner with them directly to clear pathways to be able to help resolve outage situations as they arise.
So bottom line, you know, I know you can't compare and contrast. We don't know what we don't know. But from your standpoint, preparation, level of concern, does this even approach a hurricane or a Category 1 or anything like that? Just for people that are trying to put it into context, Jason, what would you tell them?
Yeah, our experience for these types of events, and we see them in other parts of our service territory, you know, even last week in Arkansas, where we have another portion of our business, we do not see widespread power outages typically during an event like this. We have adequate generation on, so there's no generation capacity concerns. We've worked with our regional grid operator, MISO, to ensure an adequate number of power plants are online and ready to serve. And the next layer is it deliverable to the homes and to our businesses? And that's where, you know, we do not anticipate widespread damage like you would see during a hurricane that would interrupt that supply. I think it's going to be, you know, from our experience, it's more isolated damage, pockets of outages that will just safely and methodically work through and communicate effectively with our customers throughout the event.
So you don't anticipate at this point widespread power outages or anything accurate?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Any final thoughts or not?
No, just everybody, please stay warm. Take the actions that you need to protect yourself and your family from the cold weather.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Jason Willis, Vice President of Power and Delivery for Entergy Louisiana and Entergy New Orleans. 726, Tommy Tucker, Traffic Now, WWL. All right, 744, 16 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Time to take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street, Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. How you doing, Mark?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. Loving the weather, huh?
Absolutely.
Hey, you know what I want to start with today, because we do have a new president, well, a new president being sworn in. I'll phrase it that way, although he's been president before. And so many times it comes down to keeping score in politics. Right now, today, snapshot of the economy so we can go back, compare and contrast. Where is the economy of the United States today?
Okay, well, let's start off with GDP. And the news is going to come out, I think, next week. GDP for the fourth quarter on an annualized basis. So our economy grew by a little over 3%, they will report. So that's what's anticipated. 3.1% for the year, Tommy. So people have to remember, speaking about like an inauguration and so many promises are made politically, that's the routine. But the U.S. is not a speedboat, and we're probably the best performing economy on earth right now. I just read a lot of stuff over what's going on in Europe, China, what's going on, you know, from a Russia standpoint, they're in a war, all these things. The U.S. has pulled out of COVID and gone further than just about any other modern economy, and we're doing the best right now. And is it perfect? Of course not. So going back to your question, I can't even remember if I said it, the U.S. economy is not a speedboat. It's like a big aircraft carrier when you enact these things and expect some results to come of that. But what would we prefer? Well, interest rates are a little bit high, and that's being kept high by what the Fed has done and what the Fed is doing against inflation. So they increased rates 5%. I thought that was just an enormous amount of increases. And then they gave back this past fall 1%. So people could argue, and they have, it's still a little tough. The interest rates are a little bit too high. These are people that just want cheap money, and I can't blame them. We had some housing starts and building permits that came out above expectations last week. But the 30-year rate has raised again. It's the highest level since May of 2024, and it's up 5 weeks in a row. So that's part of the stubbornness within the financial markets right now, realizing that the Fed is on hold. They're not going to decrease rates, even though they don't connect themselves to the 30-year rate. That's the market is doing that, quote-unquote market, and not the Fed so much doing that. And speaking of political promises, well, I'm talking about the 30-year rate, is, you know, our incoming president saying he's going to reduce mortgage rates. Well, he doesn't – that's not connected to his office. I mean, if he does things with respect to making the economy more efficient and reducing regulations and those types of things, it might eventually lead to long-term rates coming down. And that would be fantastic because I think the 7% rate, again, up 5 weeks in a row, some of the highest rates that we've seen in a long time, that would be great if it backed up a little bit. 6 would be nice. Lower would be even nicer. But we had 5 just in August when the anticipation was that the Fed was going to come in and do more than it did. And they started lowering rates in September. So right there, that was that anticipated mechanism within the market saying, "Boy, we got a bright future ahead. Interest rates are going to come down in a major way." That's been said before, and it didn't materialize. But, you know, inflation, which was the boogeyman inside of our economy over the past couple of years, the Fed has done enough, and it's harnessed inflation. Well, the inflation news we got last week is begging to differ with people that have a above average optimism on where inflation is going. So the CPI comes out for December, and it was expected to be up 0.3%. I do this every time. I want to just for everybody's edification. It's 0.3% is 3.6% for the year. If the Fed's looking at a 2% target or a little above 2, they said they wouldn't have a problem with it being 2.2, 2.3. But 3.6 is a ways from that. So are we seeing a resurgence in inflation, and it's causing them to sit on their hands a bit, a little bit of a, sit back and wait, because we do have an incoming administration that promises to do, they have a different way of running the economy versus the last administration. So it puts the Fed at least on the fence for the short run. The 0.3% was eclipsed. It came out at actually 0.4%. So that's the better part of almost 5% increase in December on an annual basis for inflation at the consumer level. So in 2 weeks, the personal consumption expenditure, that is the Fed's preferred inflation gauge. They're going to watch that more closely than the CPI or the PPI. They have a way to calculate it that they feel more comfortable with. It's going to be out next week, and that's expected to be up 0.1%. Now, that's more like it. If it's up 0.1%, on an annual basis, it's up 1.2% for the year, and the year-over-year PCE is up 2.4. So that's what's got them, instead of knee-jerking and saying we've got to raise rates right away, first it would lose some credibility that they're desperately trying to recapture, and they're not so reactionary to the CPI. So they're reacting to their own gauge, which is low. The 2.4% was what they were looking for. Could it go down a little bit more? I think they would be happy with that, but I don't see that being a cause of pushing rates back up. So So you've got a decent housing market that was hurt by higher rates. You've got inflation that I think is acceptable right now. I'd love it to be a little bit lower to get the Fed. We want them to go to bed for like 10 years. And GDP is up decently. Retail sales up last for December, up 0.4%. That's you know, almost a 5% annual rate. So, Tommy, there's a lot to be thankful for right now. Wages have come up in response to inflation. You know, that's it in a nutshell.
I guess what I'm asking is, just to establish a baseline, I don't care if it's Democrat, Republican, and Agnes,
correct,
Joe Biden, Donald Trump,
right,
Uncle Fred, doesn't matter to me. But where is the state of the economy that Donald Trump is inheriting this morning? I guess what I'm asking.
Well, it's it. So you
scale
you've
of
got,
1 to 10, one being terrible, 10 being great.
Oh, my goodness! I know it's easy to pick 7.
Yeah.
I don't see why it couldn't be. You know, from 6, depending on what you're pointing at, between 6 to 8, it's not a 10.
Okay,
okay,
but
and
it's not
a 2
a 1 either. Right? Yeah.
No, yeah, no, it's not a 2 either. So, yeah, I mean, unemployment is at 4.1%. You know, people that want to go work are generally working. Again, wages have come up. You know, the rates are a little bit stubborn right now, but largely a lot of the imperfection with the rates that was causing such the havoc in the financial system have basically steadied themselves. So that's good news going forward. So we could see that GDP is up, unemployment is low, inflation is pretty much tamed. You know, retail sales up, personal income has been up. This is not bad. I love the prospect of lower fuel cost or energy costs that I think is going to be the real key to lowering inflation to a point where the Fed, we're not even talking about the Fed anymore. And like I said last time, it being on Fed watch for years is hell, because you're waiting on them and they can come in and out of the market as they want. They don't have to be beholden to anybody. So that's there's an old adage, you can't fight the Fed. It would be like getting hit by a train.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't, you know. So as far as they meet in 9 days, just update us on that. There's a 99.5% chance that there's no rate change. But moreover, I went through every Fed meeting for all of 25, what the predictions are for rate changes. And none of them are over 50%. There's one that we're going to get a little relief in the March meeting, but it's only a 40% chance. That means 60% not. So it's that's being baked into the cake, that there's going to be no rate changes for 2025. And, okay, I wish there could be a little bit. But on the other side of that, maybe I need to be happy about there's no increases either. And that conversation has come up of late, where if the economy performs, quote, too well, you know, if it goes from a 7 to a 9, might we get some inflation back into the equation, and then we'll be worrying about that again.
So looking ahead, optimistic about this year?
I do. I think if energy costs are reduced, that's a big part of the administration's promises. And a couple of key things. If that's reduced, that's going to help inflation. It's going to help everybody. And then if regulations, goodness sakes, what he was doing the last time he was president, really pulling a lot of the regulatory morass out of the economy. And that is so beneficial.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the time and the insight.
Yes,
as always, Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. We'll talk to him Friday when we help you manage your money with Mark Rosa. 7:54, 6 till 8, traffic now, WWL.